Yardni that was given. That's not natural. But because the Torah created an Issa that don't take bribes, the fact now that the Torah created the Issa of don't take bribes, if you then take money, then now the money is going to cause you to not judge correctly. And therefore the Chazanish comes up and says that only where the Issa is stated is there a problem of taking a bribe, because you're going to get a wrong sum. But where the Issa is not stated, then there's no problem in taking money, and therefore you won't make a wrong sum. And therefore, the Issa was only stated in momentous, monetary matters, and not in Issa v'Heter. Therefore, somebody could get money to decide whether this cow is kosher or trade. And that wouldn't be a problem of rights. He won't get it wrong just because of the money, because the Issa wasn't stated over there. And therefore we understood why at that stage, and last week we understood that it could be that's the reason why it's okay for mashgichim, who are being hired by the restaurant to make sure everything here is kosher, to actually be paid by the owner of the restaurant. Because it's not a monetary issue. Now, we're going to develop this week, how do we define the category of money where problems of bribes apply? How do we categorize it? Last week we saw that judging on gerus, somebody becomes a ger, that does enter the category of dine momenus, in order that there will be problems of bribes. So, we're going to start with the first shayla. Reuven owns a school. It's a private school. He's in charge of the school. And he's advertising that he needs a machanechet for Peter Zayn. Lots of people apply. One person applies and has an interview for the job, and she said, asked afterwards, do I get the job? So he said, well, there's lots of people applying. I have to decide on the merits of each case whether you will get the job or not. There's lots of people. So she turns around and says, you know who my father is? My father is the head of the big factory in Yerushalayim. And if you do me a favor, he'll do you a favor. What was the favor? That his grandson was looking for a job. And now, he would be hired in a factory in Yerushalayim. But you have to do me a favor. So the question now arises, is that a problem of shofar or not a problem of shofar? Is that a problem of bribery or not a problem of bribery in such a case?
What's the bribery?
The job.
No.
There's about 20 people applying for this job. And he says that I am trying to judge on merits on who should be the teacher over here. Comes on one of those people and says, don't judge on merits. Instead, judge on the fact that your grandson's going to get a job in the factory in Yerushalayim.
Who's the one that decided the judgment should be made on merits?
That was his answer.
No. Was it the board that decided she go by merits, or was it the manal that decided?
No.
So he's just making a monetary transaction. He can change his mind.
Okay.
They're right
or wrong.
Why should she get the job?
I say she's not fitting for the job.
That has nothing to do with shochat. That has to do with his being marshal rather.
So is it a shochat or not?
But if she's equally qualified.
The best in this case is bribery unlawfully applied outside of the best. He's not a judge.
So last week we saw a case brought down that says that Rav Papi saved Bahama from getting his eyes gouged out because there was witnesses saying over there that he had killed somebody. And the Reish Gulusa says if he had killed somebody, then we are going to gorge his eyes out. He brought another two witnesses that said that these witnesses that came against me are possible. Why? Because they're ganovim. And there's a discussion there whether ganovim makes you possible as a witness for dinei nefoshes cases. Came along a papi over there and says, no, the halacha is that possible. Because of that, Bachama came to a papi and said, you saved my eyes, I'm going to pay your taxes for the whole year. Says the Rosh, that's a bribe. How can he do that? Answers the Rosh, you know why? Because he didn't give him anything, because he was not, he didn't have to pay the tax in any case, because the Talmud Chacham doesn't have to pay the tax, so he didn't give anything. Says the Tosfos Yotzer, we see from there that bribery is not necessary in Dinei Torah, because there's no Din Torah to gouge somebody's house, eyes out. That's not a Din Torah. There's no such thing in Halakha which says you kill somebody, your eyes get gouged out. There's no such thing. And we see, therefore, that there is such a concept as shofar, even although it's not Dinei Mamonos. So does it apply over in our case? You give me the job, your grandson gets the job. So you said, what you said was the obvious question, answer.
So this would apply, this answer applies in terms of bribing a city bureaucrat?
Oh, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. But the answer is once you hear it, it's an obvious answer.
It's a transaction. It's a trade. It's a transaction.
Yes. Well, one of the conditions of bribe is that I'm trying you to make a decision not on based on what you should make a decision on. You've got certain set of rules to make a decision, and the money is influencing you to go against those rules. When I am the owner of the place and the balabos of what's going on over here, then what are my rules? My rules are limited to how much I decide what my rules are. If I decide today I'm hiring the teacher because it's a good teacher, then fine. If it says today I'm going to hire the teacher because they're giving me $1 million, then fine, it's also good. Because I'm in charge here. It's not making a decision, a wrong decision. I can make any decision I like, so therefore it's not considered a bribe.
Yeah, but if you were a parent and you found out about it, you wouldn't be too happy.
You wouldn't be too happy, but you're not in control of the parents. The parents is not in control of it. Who's in control of this? Who's the owner of this school? This private body over here is the owner of Reuven. Reuven says, I can hire based on any decision I like. Any method, any form that I like to do. We'll maybe get that to the end of the show. How do you find it? Okay, so that was an easy shot. Now let's go to a more complicated side. I am asking the area to be able to enclose my balcony, to build on my balcony. I hire an engineer to put through the top bits in the area. He obviously gives me what's the payments that I have to do in order to get this tachnit through and get past the area. One of the charges comes up like this, that yeah, we need certain money to give to some of the workers in the area. Why do you have to do that? Why do you have to give money to some? Because it helps the process. What do you mean? You mean it's a bribe? No, it's not a bribe. Yeah, it helps the process. And so the money is given. Is that a problem of a bribe over there? You're giving money to somebody who works in the area in order to help the process that you now have the ability to extend your partner. How does it help the process? Because sometimes without the money, the way that you're building will never get past the rules. And therefore now the money enables you to get past those rules. Or sometimes without the money it will take 5 years. With the money, there's a speed up process and you suddenly it gets done in a few months. Is that called a bribe? Is that not called a bribe?
big difference in the two. The first one is you shouldn't be allowed to build, and therefore by giving extra money you're getting through. That is a point. The second one is as things being boring for now.
Doing what?
It's
boring for now. Like
a, I don't know what I'm saying. It's very boring.
Okay.
What's the difference?
Because the airline is a private organization, they do what they want. Here it's the city workers held accountable, supposed to be held accountable. Well, what's your reason?
So we have here that the way, let me speak it out, the way that you're saying is that yes, there's a concept of bribery applicable. Okay, then everyone can say differently afterwards. That the concept of bribery does apply to workers in the area. It's just, it only is a problem when you're getting past the rules, but not if you're speeding up the process. Does everybody agree to what is being just said?
No.
And now, explain why.
I think it depends on whether or not it's standard practice.
So
because that's part of the built-in fee. Okay. Understood, that's what you have to say.
So now we have a Kiddush that's been suggested over here, on our left-hand corner. If it's acceptable to give a bribe, it's not a bribe!
That's what we've been dealing with since last
week.
But you weren't
if it's acceptable to give a bribe, it's not a bribe!
No, he said you couldn't do that.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not all of my tithes. Not all of his tithes, I agree with.
It doesn't make a difference what I'm accountable
for. Here he is saying if you should be taking money, and you do take money, but you take it for one reason, which is okay, it's still going to be a problem because it may encourage you to do things which are not okay.
Well, no, you're not like a shochad even to do something that's right. Is this a shochad even to do something that's right?
Yes.
So it doesn't matter whether it's supposed to happen or not.
Okay. So, we've had now two scorers. Either there's no bribes here because everyone does it. Or, there is a bribe, but it depends. Or maybe it doesn't depend.
Who sets the rules to approve it? Who sets all the again, the syndicate, who sets all the rules to approve it? Like the workers or whoever do it, they set the rules again. So they say these are the rules that
who sets all the rules in order to how things get approved?
The city council.
Theoretically there's a planning act.
The planning
a national
act.
Planning act.
National planning act, not the workers. Not the local workers set the rules.
Well theoretically. Supposed to.
Now, so the first question is, what decisions do we follow, are they supposed to follow, these people in the area? Again, we said, if you're the owner, you can decide what you like. If you've got certain rules, then you have to follow the rules. What do the people in the area have to follow? Now, if it's only based on there's a law in the country, then we have to go into the whole concept, does the law of the country have validity at all? In deciding whether I have to follow them. Called dinner and after dinner, which is a whole set of shirim in itself. But we don't need to come on it over here, because there's a shulchan aruch, number one, Kufsam Gimel, says like this. Kol sachi sibuk, she'eina yotin lahashiz atzron, anything which is needs to be done for the community, which can't be decided on equally, everyone doesn't have unanimous ideas about it. Yesh dahushiv kol bale batim anotim mas. Everybody who pays tax should have a meeting. Vikabalehem should call echad yom adat in the same shemayim. And when they're making a decision that in respect to the community, they have to make that decision based on the Shem Shemayim decisions.
So you have to do this?
The Yachol Akarot, and then you go after the majority. So the Shulchan Aruch says that if you are representing a decision for the community, then the rules that you have to follow for that decision is that it has to be based on the Shem Shemayim, why this decision is decided. Why did you make the decision? It's the Shem Shemayim. And no other reason why you're making this decision. So therefore, even if there is no laws saying you have to follow certain rules, or there's rules but we don't have to keep them because of Hilchos Din Mitzvah, you would still have to follow the rule of your decision has to be based on the Shem Shemayim. And if your decision is not based on the Shem Shemayim reason, then you're breaking those rules.
What do you mean the Shem Shemayim? Decisions are based on
for the good of the community, not for personal interests.
We said that the reason it's usher is not because inherently a person will be influenced, it's because of the Zeres HaKasav, and once the Zeres HaKasav, it now causes one to be
correct.
So that would only apply where the Xeris Kassav was given.
Correct.
So if the Xeris Kassav was not given in this case,
yes.
So then one could say, I'm following the Hoshem Mishpat.
Ah.
Right? Meaning I'm making the right decision. The fact
now
is
the next question is, yes, I have to make a decision of Shem Shemayim. But I'm making a decision of Shem Shemayim even if I get money. Because money doesn't stop me doing the Shem Shemayim. Why? Because it only stops me doing the Shem Shemayim when the Issa is said. If the Issa is not said in this place, then I can still make the decision of Shem Shemayim even though I'm receiving money. So therefore, does the Issa apply to the area, workers in the area, or only applies to people in Dayston? That's the next shayla. So, we have an oracle shulchan. And don't worry, it's not just the oracle shulchan, but there's many other acronyms who say like oracle shulchan. So it's not just put in for the purpose of the censor. The oracle shulchan says like this, number two. The love dafka dayan osa bekabolas shulchan. Not only a judge can't take bribes, El Afidu Kol Amamunim Bekol Oskim Besorchi Sibul, but also everybody who's appointed and involved in congregational decisions, for the Kehillah decisions, Ab She'ein Dainin Din Torah, even though they're nothing to do with Din Torah. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, the Issa of taking a bribe applies to anybody who's in the decisions, making decisions for the community, or appointed by the community. The Issa applies.
So why didn't the Hoshem Mishpat say that? Meaning, why didn't the Mechaber say the Issa is taking shochad? He's focused more on what's emes.
Because he's not talking about anyone giving money, he's just saying, if you're in that position, and you have to decide, make sure your decisions are based on the Shem Shemayim.
Does that mean any pure fraud?
Yes. So now, the question, we go back and say the reverse. If you're telling on anyone who's appointed by the Sibbol, or for the Sibbol, is in the parasha of taking bribes, and is also for to take bribes, or to give him bribes, is also. And therefore anyone working for the area is also for him to take a bribe, then come back to the Chazadish. Why is somebody working in a restaurant to decide whether it's kosher or not kosher is not considered working for the Sibbol and therefore offers him to take a bribe or get paid for his work by the person who's giving him the hesher?
He's not working for the Sibbol. If he were hired him, then you're right. It would be awesome for him to take money from the restaurant owner.
Is it Sarki Sibbol, not Sarki Sibbol, a restaurant? That says it's kosher, lebahadrin.
Every service is a tzarchei tzibur, but I'm the tzibur is not the one that's paying me to do it, unless it is. Like, let's say somebody from the OU, the OU is paying the guy, so he couldn't take money from the restaurant owner.
So the answer is it depends. Why is it depends? If you're private based in, that says, look, I need to make money, I'm a Talmud Chacham, and I know about kashrus, so let's set up a based in a hecherim and our rules and advertise that people who want to take hire us to make sure that their kosher are up to certain standards, they're not hire us, we'll give them a hecher and people will come decide themselves whether to eat on this restaurant based on our stamp or not. Then you're not working for the Sibbol, you're working for the restaurant, and that's who you've been hired by, and therefore there's no issa of shochad by you.
regardless of how big your hechsher becomes?
Doesn't matter how big your hechsher, right? Because I'm a private entity. I'm working for the people who hire me just to say that you want my stamp, that you're kosher, then I'll give you my stamp as kosher. I'm not there to help the single out. I'm there to help my pocket, because customers is a big money business, and I help also the restaurants get customers. Yes, it's also for even both sides to give money. Even the same amount.
So the OU is considered a private enterprise?
In America, they rely on certain hetay.
Sorry, Badat is considered a private enterprise?
Yes. But if it's a cashless organization which is set up by the community in order to say this is a community decision over here whether this is kosher or not kosher,
like the Rabbi Dutz,
then it would not be permitted for them to get paid by the private entities for the hechsher. So then there's a big discussion, is the Rabbi Dutz considered a public entity or not a public entity? If it's considered a public entity, the Rabbi Dutz, serving the Sibyl, then they would be able to be paid by those restaurants. But the private cashless organizations for sure could get paid.
The Rabbanut is funded by taxes. How could it be a private company? It's funded by taxes. How could it be a private company?
So they're funded by taxes, they're appointed by the government, they have rules. In fact, that the Pope governs them what they can be involved in, what they can't be involved in.
How could that not be totally people?
And therefore, the pastors is that they are a kehillah entity, and therefore they should be able to get private money from those restaurants.
What if you don't eat ramen noodles?
Then you've got another reason not to eat. Okay. So, we've established... Oh, how it should work is that there should be a general fund, a tax, so to speak, of every person in the community giving, like they give to the shul, 100 shekels, so they give to the basket, and that basket goes to support the Zionim, the Rabbonim, the Kashrus organization, like they used to do in Europe. That's what they used to do in Europe. How the shul can ask, those things should be set up.
I think they did that in Washington.
It is practiced in the small kehillahs. The wide ones, or ones which are not, all have so many in it, that there's 50 in the space of one city, and they're not really, everyone has their own little community. So when you have one organization fought like the Erev or the Kashrus for that community, you're not going to have people funding it because there's so many little communities. To get everyone to decide on it equally would be impossible. Then it's unlikely that will happen. But that's ideal. So we decided that giving money to the area to help your tachnit is a problem of bribery.
If the money was then like redistributed to the entire community, not just like these 3-4 guys in the line in the front office, and there wouldn't be, that's not a personal interest.
No,
it's just a fee.
Yes. If it's a fee, then fine. That's the fee.
So even if it's standard practice, it would still be called shalchan?
Yes. I'll tell you why.
And if the bureaucrat demands a bribe, are you allowed to give it to him? No, he said, I'm not going to take care of your...
Depends.
We'll do this offline.
We'll get there.
Okay,
now, who was in, and what you realize, if you're working to decide which medicine goes into the Sal HaBriyot, yes, you're the community committee to decide which medicines goes into being funded by the Kupah. You also can't take money from all those medicine firms, from what's it called? Pharmaceutical, in order to put it into the basket. That's also, you're working for the community, And that's, you're not allowed to take money for that.
Can you take money if they don't say we want you to put it in the basket? Just say.
No, because he says bribe is not only to make sure that I get my results, bribes are also just to say his money, but make sure you do an honest job. That's also called
a bribe. No, if they don't say nothing, we like you, we want to give you $1,000.
That's also a bribe.
So they can't accept anything from any pharmaceutical company ever.
Correct.
Period.
Correct.
None of those samples are nothing. Garnished.
Going back to the finding of community organization, most, let's say, universities or yeshivas, they get funding from the government. But they also charge tuition. They also fundraise. And they may be getting 80% of their budget that's not from the government. So are they defined as community or are they defined as
private? Okay, we'll get that at one of our last questions. Oh, correct.
Well, that goes without saying.
It's got insurance, which has to be very careful. And you have to make sure that you are not giving him this, because you're over listening if you give it. Yes. Now, I'm going to answer one of the questions earlier than I said, because everyone's probably by it. Is that, firstly, if there's a minhag to give a bribe, it doesn't mean it's not a bribe. Why? How do you define a bribe? A bribe is something is that if you get caught, you'll be in trouble. That's called a bribe.
But if they get caught, they won't be in trouble.
So, yes, they would.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
I've never heard of anybody being in
trouble. If there's
the
a
worst thing that happens is that the guy that caught them will ask them.
No, there's a quote in the dinner. You're not allowed to accept money from an interested party. Then that's called.
And newspaper reporter.
Everyone does it though, because no one really follows up on the law, because no one can't really enforce it so much, or it's very hard to enforce. Or the Mishtara themselves are getting bribes in order not to enforce it. But that doesn't mean that it's not a bribe. Everyone realizes it's a bribe, but let's shush it up. Makes everyone ignorant. No, it boils down how do people relate to it, and therefore the Dinah Machos Dinah can convey, establish whether over time that this is defined something that's not a correct activity to do. So therefore, say thank you for afterwards making me able to have a building for my school. And now I make an advert in the local papers, thank you very much, Mankala here, for being able to push through the... That is not considered a bribe, that's called a concerto.
What about for next project though? Maybe I'm thinking, the next project next year...
Yeah, because it's not considered a bribe, I'm doing this in a public fashion, I'm giving it over to him. Is there everyone that understands this, that this is an interpretation of thank you very much?
So wait a minute, you mean that if I go to Basin, and the Basin in Paskin is in my favor, I can put an ad in the New York Times, thank you very much for Paskin in my favor?
No.
So what's the difference?
Because it's not acceptable in the potted dinner to do such a thing. If there's acceptable minhag, which is done, that everyone does, and everyone interprets it as in a public fashion, then it can't be defined as a bribe. And therefore, also it's known as a law, that prime ministers and presidents to visit certain countries, and when they visit, they get presents from those countries. The law is, up to a certain amount of money, they can take for themselves. After that, they have to give it to the Medina, the country which they represent, because otherwise it would be considered a bribe over a certain level of money. Now, in Yoma, there are elections in town. Can I bribe people to vote for me?
A hypothetical question.
Is there a problem of a bribe in giving money to somebody? Here's money, go and vote for me. Now we define that in order to be a bribe, it has to be something that you're changing the rules for what you should be doing. And it has to be something to do with the civil. You're appointed by the civil, the congregation.
But the voter is not appointed by the civil.
So is the voter giving money to the voter a problem of bribery at all?
No.
Okay, so I'd say that we'll talk about Dinah Malchus and Dinah Shirin. But we're talking about in the concept of bribery is a bribery. Maybe it's other Isurim in Dinah Malchus to Dinah. But in the concept of bribery is a bribery, according to the Kalalim that we've defined up to now. Local law will see it not as a thank you, but as a bribe.
Then it's a bribe.
But only if you also have the other conditions, which means that it has to be that you're changing the rules based on that money, or got rules which this money could affect, and it has to be that you're working for the civil. So therefore, giving money to the voter, does it fit those conditions or not fit those conditions?
No.
Does not. Yemi says it doesn't.
Right. Is this first?
You got all the money back.
Is this first?
Sure, you got all the money back.
Is this first Shulchan Aruch talking about Shulchan there? Is he saying the Bali Batna have to vote with Shem Shemayim?
It has to be. That's
does that mean if they're not, that they're being over in Shulchan?
It's not talking about Shulchan. It's just saying that decisions have to be there.
Okay.
So this question was asked to the Chasam Sofer. That in pointing a rab of a kehila, there was a case that some people were bribed in to decide which rab they should appoint. Is that a problem or not? That was asked by Chasam Sofer. So number three, this is what the Chasam Sofer says. If a motzi motza beit edim kasherim she'ena b'nei hakila kadosha b'lo mikrovehem b'lo mikrovi harab. If you find kosher witnesses, who are not part of the Kehila and have no interest in the Kehila, she yaitu that testify, that the people received money to vote certain way, it came kosher, kaboy kabagusa, it's so obvious to me, the appointment of that rav based on that bribe is null and void.
Is this talking about a general?
Why? Because anyone who votes also has to say their opinion, the Shem Shemayim.
The voter is not representing the
Sivur.
Well, that's the question. Is this?
And the Hasan Sofer continues, and therefore it's considered a problem of a bribe.
Is this talking about a general election or a representative election?
Appointing a rab to the kehila.
No, is there a board that's doing it or the whole kehila?
The whole kehila is voting.
The whole kehila was voting?
The whole kehila was voting. And some received money to vote certain way. Says the Chasam Sofer that's called a bribe because they have to say their opinions to Shem Shemayim and they're not saying their opinions to Shem Shemayim.
So every election for rabbi is always bottled because there's always people there that are being bribed somehow.
If you got witnesses, yes. Only
no, it's
witnesses.
A chazaka. Forget about witnesses.
No, kosher witnesses.
But again, individual voter.
Kosher witnesses.
A voter is not necessarily voting for the tzibor. He's voting for his
interest. Now the question is, but they're not appointed by the tzibor, these people, to vote. Okay, we've got one of the conditions, that they have to say their opinion to Shem Shemayim. But they're not appointed by the tzibor in order to vote. They are individuals. Why do, therefore, does it enter the concept of bribery? Yeah. Yes, the taxpayers. So why is there a problem of bribery? Why is that to say the bribery? There has to be a condition that they're working for the civil. They're not working for the civil. So we see from here, even if you don't work for the civil, but your decision is going to make ramifications for the decisions for the civil, that's also called Sarkei civil, and you can't make your decision based on money received.
So why is the whole...
So now we've broadened the band that you don't have to be only appointed by the civil, but any decision which is the Sarkei civil are going to affect the civil also comes into the category of rights.
So why is the whole meaning bottle? Just take those votes out and see what's left.
No, because it also doesn't work. It's also a whole shit.
Every purchase you make affects the Sibor. Every time you go into the store and then a percent is going taxes to the government, you've now affected the Sibor. So almost anything you do in life, then you can't be influenced by...
No, a rab's position is a civil dicker position.
Ah, you
and you're appointing that rab who's going to make civil dicker decisions. So your decision on which rav is a problem of bribery.
Where does the chassam sofer get that from?
It says it's svara deraisa, because he says you're over it's a deraisa.
He just says his own svara.
Yes. Wow. He's the god of Azor. Chassam sofer is the god of Azor. Chassam sofer never said the shayla to somebody, and it wasn't after Diver. There was one, I'll tell you a story. There was a tshuva written in the Sholem Meshiv that the Chassam sofer said to him this shayla. So the Talmud came to the Chassam sofer and said, a few generations later they said, the Chassam sofer is you too, and never said shayla to anybody. How did he get in the Sholem Meshiv? So the answer was that Talmud came to the Chassam sofer once when he was writing a question and said, can I look at your latest shayla? He said, yes, you can, take it home for Yosef. On his way home for Yosef, he stopped by the Sholem Meshiv, and the Sholem Meshiv saw that piece of paper, and he took it and he read it, and he thought that it was sent by the Chassam sofer. It wasn't sent by the Chassam sofer. Chassam sofer never sent shaylas. Now, getting back to us. I appoint a project manager to build my shul. His decision is to decide who he's going to have. I want the best builder. I want the best Mandez. I want to have the best cement, all the goods that go into building it. I need the best. That's your job. We make a contract. That's what I'm hiring to. Comes along the suppliers to the project manager. We heard you're the project manager of this big project of building the shul. If you choose us to be your suppliers, we'll give you 1,000 shekels a month. Is that a bribe or not? We give you the we give you the project manager 1,000 shekels for your pocket. If you choose us to be your suppliers, is that a bribe or not? Why yes? And why you say why not? Why yes? You
shouldn't pay a fixed fee no matter what. Meaning, the shul paying the contract.
They're paying the project manager.
So it doesn't matter to the shul what the project.
He's getting 100,000 shekels to do his job.
No, but they still have to pay the suppliers.
They're going to say pay the suppliers. So.
Community.
So I understand that, but he's representing a private person. He has two names
on
it.
Because the private person
with the
money, if he chooses a more expensive
shop,
buyer.
So the answer is, it's not a bribe, but it's Gnepa. It's worse! You have to give the money back!
If it's a higher price, he's getting the same product.
Because!
Yeah, what if it didn't influence the decision? What if they really were the cheapest quote?
Yes.
What if he knew they were the cheapest quote?
And they're stealing from them. It's called stealing. He's stealing from his employers. The employer says, we are employing you 100,000 shekels to do this job. What job? To get us the cheapest supplies, or best quality supplies, or the best builders, or the cheapest builders. We give you certain conditions. And you make your decisions not on what we ask you to do. Then that's called Geneva. You stole them from us.
I beg to differ. Because when he gave them that price quote, they know that his price is partially based on the fact that he's going to get kickbacks. No, that's not a joke.
At the same
it's
time,
sure.
I saw you said
this
at the beginning.
This is not a joke. This is the way it is. They know that.
It's a big
if
you say that.
No, no, no. Because if he couldn't get kickbacks, he would have charged them more.
What if it's not that he would have necessarily picked certain suppliers based on the cheapest rate? Then, if there was a certain reason why qualitatively it was better for him to pick guys with a little bit more, and instead
but as soon as he gets money into his pocket, we say that his decisions are being affected. And maybe it's a problem of Geneva Hagen.
Even they saving them money?
Well, you've got two suppliers, both of them exactly the same materials from the same big companies, and both prices are exactly the same. Absolute 50-50, no difference.
Okay, so then it wouldn't be Geneva. That's the case. But him, he says, I don't get the cheaper one. Because the cheaper one won't give me 1,000 shekels in my pocket. I'll get the more expensive one in order to get the 1,000 shekels in my pocket. That's called the neighbor because you're stealing from your employers.
I'll give you a perfect example, a more extreme. You go into a stockbroker. I'm not going to charge you. Where do you think he's getting paid from? He's getting commissions from those stocks. So somebody's going to hire a commission.
That's legal.
We're not talking about legal or illegal. It's expected. I know. He didn't tell me that, but I know.
Yes, I know from the beginning that you're getting paid from those people.
Right. So I... This
correct. But here,
you live under the rock. Here, you're living under. Everybody knows.
Every person in the project manager gets hit back.
I would venture to say 90%. What do you say, Dan? Dan?
Equal kickbacks, then it wouldn't be Canadian. Would not.
Of course, it is the
minimum. Whoever you choose, you'll get 1,000 seconds,
the
so then obviously it won't be Canadian.
No.
Now, but I advise you. But write in your contract with the project manager that any kickbacks that he gets is entitled to your employer. That's add to the contract before you hire him, and you can therefore avoid this problem.
Right.
Think about this for next week. We're running out of time. And that's it. That I am competing with somebody else for this area of land. And I know Ruben, who represents the other community for this area of land, has already paid the bribe to the area in order to get it. I would have never paid the bribe in order to get it. But Ruben's already done it. Can I now equalize and also give the same amount of bribe in order that to help him, the area out, to avoid them doing a sorim? I don't want the area to do a sorim. He's already got a show cut. I'm going to make sure that he's going to say his decision to change his mind by giving him more show cut. So now it equalizes. Is there a problem or not? Hey, think about it till next week.
Great.